Father, bless us as we look at this important subject this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and ask you to guide us and bless us through your word. We pray that you might do this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. In recent weeks, as we have been studying the book of Romans, we have been confronted with the challenge that was given to us way back in the 12th chapter, that God wants to perform his perfect will in and through our lives. We discovered that God has a plan for every one of us. But we also discovered that there are prerequisites that we have to conform to if we ever expect to be all that God wants us to be. In Romans chapter 12, we learned that if we want to find the perfect will of God for our lives, that we must be willing to consecrate or dedicate our bodies totally unto him. We find when we look down through life sometimes that as we make our course through this world, that sometimes we come across roadblocks and detours in our lives. And sometimes we mistakenly believe that the roadblocks are always not the will of God for us. That is not true. Many, many times when we are directly performing and fulfilling God's will for our lives, God allows roadblocks to come in for a season in order that we might be protected from dangers and things that might engulf us, in order that we might be trained and taught and further instructed and prepared for future ministries. And sometimes, of course, the roadblocks come because of the sin and disobedience and unbelief of our own hearts. If we refuse to give our bodies to the Lord, then we ourselves are responsible for producing our own roadblocks. If we persist in deliberately living in sin and disobeying the Word of God and the law of God, of doing things that are contrary to His Word, then we are responsible again for building roadblocks into our lives and for bringing to ourselves and finding ourselves on hopeless detours that keep us from ever attaining and ever achieving that which God has laid upon our hearts. You know, it's a wonderful thing to look into the Word of God and there discover the story of how that God is always ready and willing to meet with His own and to guide them through life's pathway. But if we're going to find God's path and program for our life, then we are going to have to call upon God and submit to God in order that we might discover what He wants us to do. A few years after the Apostle Paul had written this letter to the Roman church, he wrote to the Philippian church from prison. He said, "I haven't already apprehended or laid hold of all of the things that I believe God wants me as a believer to lay hold upon. But," he said, "I have one determination in my life, and that is this, that I want to fulfill the total will and plan and purpose of God for my life." He said, "This one thing I do, I have set aside everything else, and I am pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." In the Old Testament, we read the story of Abraham's servant, Eliezer. And Abraham called him in one day and he said, "Eliezer, I'd like you to go back to the country from which I came." We have no record that Eliezer ever had been in that country. He said, "I want you to find my brother's household, and I want you to find a bride for my son Isaac." Well, there was Eliezer sent along the road, wasn't he? No road map, no Rand McNally Atlas, no telephone directory when he got there, no better business, not better bureau, Chamber of Commerce to contact. What's he going to do? And Eliezer gets out on the road, and as we follow the story there in Genesis 24, he lifts his heart toward heaven, and he cries out, and he said, "Oh God, show me what to do. Oh God, guide me, direct me. You know the story. He came to a well when he got into the land, and there was Rebekah. And she was of the household of Abraham's brother. And he asked her if she would go, and she said she would. And he lifted his hand toward heaven. And here's the secret of success in discovering God's will for your life. And it is this. He said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. I was where God wanted me to be. And if we're where God wants us to be, then we're going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. And this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. The Apostle Paul is reminding us again that there is a plan for our lives. There is a will of God for our lives. And the will of God will bring total satisfaction and total fulfillment to us as believers. But roadblocks do appear in our lives. When the roadblocks come, it behooves us to stop and look at them and try to determine their origin. Try to discover what they are there for. You know, as we go through life sometimes, and as we travel along the highways, we find roadblocks, don't we? Sometimes we find detours. It is a foolish driver that stops and removes a roadblock without examining the situation. Those are the kind that drive off the bridge into the water. It is a foolish traveler that refuses to heed the detour signs and pushes on in the old highway, in the old pathway. Yes, God has not promised that life would not be without its difficulties. In Hebrews 14, it says, we have a great high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, was on all points tempted like as we are. And we can come boldly to him and ask him to help us when we find the roadblocks. But we have to discover that sometimes those roadblocks are going to be there by God's direct plan, will, and design for us. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And now what does he say? And yea, though I walk through the dark places, not just the valley of death. We've taken that psalm and we've relegated that to just that doorway that comes at the end of a life. But that isn't what the psalmist really saying there when you study the Hebrew. Yea, when I go through the dark places, when I hit the roadblocks, when I come to the detours, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the day of my life. The goodness and mercy of God is there at every roadblock. The goodness and mercy of God always follows the believer who walks this life in conformity to the will of God. And then when life is over, then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and a day. Isn't that what he used to say in the storybooks? I like that. I like that because that just adds a little bit to forever, doesn't it? Did you like that when you were young? And they lived happily forever and a day. How many remember that? Yes. I used to think about that. Forever. And then a day more. And that's exactly what he's saying here. That when we get finished with this life, then we enter into the presence of God forever and a day. Say, Pastor, what does all this have to do with Romans chapter 15, verses 20 through 29 that they read this morning? I'm kind of wondering how in the world you got onto this subject from these verses. And we better start looking at them. Now, don't be alarmed. We're not going to go through all of the outline today. I knew that before I started at the first service this morning because this is a two-part sermon. We find the Apostle Paul discussing with the Roman church God's will and plan and direction for his life. And the first thing that he talks about is the fact that roadblocks and detours are often a part of God's will for our lives. And so we find that the Apostle Paul has had a tremendous desire. The Apostle Paul has had a dream. The Apostle Paul has had a vision of looking forward to the day when he would be able to personally come and preach and minister to the Christians at Rome. He had never been to this city. And the Apostle Paul said to these Roman believers, he said, I have a dream. And the dream is this, that one day I want to be able to walk into the city of Rome. I want to walk down the streets of the city of Rome. And I want to meet with the saints there. And I want to meet you face to face and share with you the precious message of Jesus Christ. Now he said, I haven't been able to do that because he said, I've had priorities that have stepped between us. He said, I have been, and I like that word there, I have been hindered. He said, I want to come and see you, but I've had a roadblock. But he said, the roadblock has not been of the devil. The roadblock has not been of my own disobedience. He said, no, God has kept me from coming. There is nothing wrong with having a dream. There is nothing wrong with having a vision. In fact, I believe with all my heart that God's people need dreams and visions of things that they want to do for God. I'm not talking about a vision or a dream in which you get suddenly a message from heaven or a new revelation. Praise God, all the revelation we need is right here in the book. Oh, but I'm talking about looking out into the future and wanting things for God through your life. Did you read that brochure that we passed out? Or did you just look at the pictures? Somebody said, Pastor, where'd you get that picture of you? That must have been 20 years ago. No, it was just two. Just two. But listen, what I want to know is, did you read what I said? Because that's really important. Without a vision, the people, what? Perish. What is your dream this morning? What is your vision? Does your dream, does your vision include the work of God? Is the will of God, are the things of God the basic dream of your heart this morning? Oh, it's not wrong to want a cabin in the mountain. It's not wrong to want a shack on a beach in Hawaii. It's not wrong to want a shack by a golf course. It's not wrong to want to finally one day build a dream house. But dear Christians, if that's the extent of your dreams, if that's all that you're really excited about, you're missing out. You're missing out. Every one of us as believers this morning ought to have a dream of ministry and service for God that is constantly filling our breast and filling our bosom and bringing us to a place of commitment and bringing us to a place of prayer and waiting upon God and calling upon God for the fulfillment of that vision, for the fulfillment of that burden, for the fulfillment of that desire. The Apostle Paul said, I have wanted to come to Rome. Oh, I want to be there, but I can't. I haven't been able to come because other ministries have had priority in my life. What are these other ministries? He talked to us about them in verses 20 and 21. I have strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. I've been busy in Macedonia. I've been busy in Achaia. I've been busy in Asia Minor. I've been busy at Antioch. I've been busy in Jerusalem. But I have a dream that one day I'm going to come where you are. Oh, dear Christians, I realize this morning that many of you have many things that you are responsible for, many things that are God's call and direction for your life. But dear Christians, let us not be satisfied to be just what we are, but let us always be looking to God for new things and for new visions and for new ministries. Let us always be moving our burden out beyond just where we are, and let us be claiming more and more for the work of God and for the things of God. And oh, Christians, I urge you this morning, let us begin to build dreams that reach beyond the material pleasures of this life. As I said in the first service, most of us, by the time we get to that shack, will have such arthritis so bad we won't be able to hit the long drives anymore anyway. I was speaking to some preachers as they asked me to give devotions this week, and I said, you know, it's exciting to be a pastor, to be 54 years old and to be in the ministry. I'm in the vintage years of my life. I have a few years and wrinkles now that gives me a place that where people have a little more proneness to listen to what I'm saying once in a while. I said, you know, I'm the same age as Willie Mays, and he's a has-been, and I'm just in the prime. He can't cut it anymore, and I'm just getting started. But my vision is not just Santa Rosa Bible Church, and God help me if that's all it ever is. Oh God, give me a vision that wants to constantly reach out and reach out and reach out. But in the meantime, may God give me a heart to be what He wants me to be where I am until I get it finished. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. Yes, he said, roadblocks are not always of Satan. We need to look at the roadblock and say, God, if this is you, then God, here is where I'll be. I'll patiently minister here. But oh God, when the time comes that this is finished, God, then I'm ready to step into the next one. Isn't that great? Isn't that exciting that God lets us do that? He said, I have been hindered from coming to you. But now, he said, I've finished here. What did he mean he's finished? Was everybody saved where he was preaching? No. Not at all. Had everybody heard about the Lord? No, I'm sure they hadn't all yet heard about the Lord. But God's time and place for the Apostle Paul had come to an end. Now, I mentioned in the first part of the outline, and I don't want to spend a lot of time developing that. Yes, sometimes the roadblocks that we have are from Satan. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said to the Thessalonian church, I wanted to come to you many times, but I couldn't come because Satan hindered me. Satan loves to hinder and thwart and stop the programs of God. Did you know that? Anytime that you and I get busy in a ministry for God, Satan's going to throw up roadblocks that you've experienced that. I've experienced that. As we stand here this morning, even in our building program, we can look back over the past few months and we can see many roadblocks that have come up. But we can, praise God, look back and see how that God, through prayer, has taken care of every one of them. You know, when the people in Haggai's day were called to build that temple, that was an enormous task. It looked impossible. And yet the record tells us that God said to Haggai, you tell the people that if they'll get busy, and when they come to the roadblocks, if they are not of me and if they are of Satan, God said, I'll just push him out of the way. Oh, we make the mistake in our lives sometimes of trying to remove the roadblocks ourselves. And that's where we get into trouble. You know, when you're traveling along the highway and somebody comes along and puts up a roadblock, it is not wise to get out and remove it yourself. The best course is to wait until they take it down, and then it's safe to go ahead. So it is with us that when we face these roadblocks, we need to examine them. If they are God's will for our lives, then we accept them. If they are not God's will for our life, and if they come to us and they are directly a ministry of Satan in opposition to the work of God, then we need to get on our knees and say, God, you remove it. Because you see, Satan is greater than us, but God is greater than Satan. And what a thrill it is to see God push him aside and put him in that place. Somebody said, well, Pastor, how can I determine whether the roadblock is from God or whether it's from Satan? The only way that you can determine that is through faithful prayer on your knees. Unfortunately, there is not a big G or an S on every roadblock. It would be simple if it was. But we have to examine the roadblocks which confront us, and we have to determine If they are of God, then we accept them and we minister where we are until God removes it and lets us get on to something else. And then the second thing, if they are of Satan, we need to get on our knees and ask God to take them out of the way. And God has promised that He will. They should not destroy our vision. Ministries do come to an end. Yes, the Apostle Paul said, now I don't have any more place in these parts, and I have a great desire these many years. Oh, Paul, for many years had wanted to be in Rome. It is not wrong to want things for God. Oftentimes, God plants the seed of His will for our lives years before the opportunity to bring it to fruition comes to pass. We need to examine those desires and to see if they be of God, and then if they are of God, wait and continue with them until God brings them into our lives. But there is a time to let go of a ministry. Yes, everything wasn't finished there, but Paul said, but God is finished with me here. They hadn't all heard. They hadn't all believed. But God's time for him to go somewhere else had come. You know, many times we fail to do that. We fail to recognize that there is a time to let go and to move on into something else. Oftentimes in the work of God, we just try to add ministry to ministry and to ministry until finally we find people so bogged down with ministries that they are reeling down the aisles of the church. And they end up in defeat and discouragement. Yes, there is a time to be a school board member, and there is a time to not be a school board member. There is a time to pastor in Santa Rosa, and there is a time to pastor in Los Angeles. And God's call and God's plan comes to us subjectively in all of these areas, doesn't it? There is a time to be a Sunday school teacher, and then perhaps a time to move into something else. It's exciting to see that we can have desires, and we can be busy for God, and then God can eventually move us on into other things. And Paul said, I'm letting go here so that I can come to you over there. And don't be a Christian today who doesn't know how to let go as well as to take hold. Take hold. I'm not saying that anybody can't have more than two things for God at the same time. Certainly you could point your finger at me and say, Pastor, you have too many irons in the fire sometimes, couldn't you? Some of you have said that to me even. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're not. But here's the thing. That's a subjective thing, isn't it? That we each must consider our own hearts, our own lives, and our own ministries in the light of God's total plan for us. And so we find that ministry is, however, closely related to personal desires. Notice what it says in the last part of verse 23. I have desired these many years to come to you. And whenever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. Oh, here's the Apostle Paul. He wants to come to Rome. But now we find that he has a dream that's even beyond Rome. Rome is just a stopping place. Eventually, he wants to even get over to Spain. You know, it's exciting to recognize that God, if we walk with him, will give to us those desires that are his total plan for our lives. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. In Psalm 37, verse 4, it said, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. One of the joys I have as a pastor is to have people come to me sometimes and share their dreams. And sometimes those dreams are not fulfilled until years down the line. But every time I find someone with a dream from God, with a burden to be used, I get excited and I praise the Lord. This morning we prayed for Verl Coons. When I first met Verl Coons, he was postmaster here in Santa Rosa. But all the time he was a postmaster, he had a dream and a vision to be a missionary. And praise God, the day came when we were able to say goodbye and send him off to be a missionary for the Lord. He in God's time, in God's plan. You know, I was back in Chicago this week. I had four different people that came to me, and they said, Pastor, I've been down in Pekin, Illinois, and I met a fellow by the name of Tom Rhodes, and he said, be sure and say hello to Pastor Graves, he told us all about the Santa Rosa Bible Church and the ministry that the people of the church had in his life. Did you know that Tom Rhodes and Dickie, that he's now the pastor of the Pekin Bible Church in Pekin, Illinois? When I first met Tom Rhodes, he had a pathology lab here in Santa Rosa, and he was busily involved in a great career that was paying big dividends, but God got a hold of his life, and God called him, and we talked about that dream. We prayed about it, and then eventually God led him off to school, and now today, a dream has come to pass, and that dream is part of your ministry, for you see, the people of the church prayed and encouraged him. He had some roadblocks, and while the roadblock of Santa Rosa was in his life, he gave himself to the ministry here. And then the day came when God said, okay, Tom, come on. You know, the psalmist says that if you give your heart to the Lord, and if you walk in Him, if you delight in the Lord, if you make knowing His will the preeminent force in your life, that the Word of God says that eventually the desires of your heart will totally conform to the will of God. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and God will give you the dreams of your heart. God will give you the dreams, and the dreams of your heart will come to pass and will come to fruition. They should be shared. Verse 24b. The Apostle Paul said, whenever I take my journey to Spain, I'm going to come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and be brought on my way there by you, if first I may somewhat be filled with your company. You know, dear Christians, I submit to you this morning that if God has given to us a burden and a vision for a ministry that we are not yet able to enter into, I believe it is the will of God for us to share that with others. Here is the Apostle Paul writing from Macedonia, or perhaps even Asia Minor here, if we're not absolutely sure. And here is the Apostle Paul saying to these people, I'm coming. I'm coming. It is the will of God for my life that I get to you. It'll be the fulfillment of a dream that has been in my heart for years. And he shared it with them. And they, in turn, I am sure, prayed with him. And then he said, my dream, it goes beyond you. He said, I'm going to go to Spain. And he said, when I get there, he said, I'm looking forward to you folks refreshing me so that you can send me out. You see, it was quite a trip from Jerusalem to Rome, and he knew that by the time he arrived in Rome, he would need to be refurnished for the trip to Spain. And so he said, when I arrive in Rome, I'm looking to you folks as the believers there to get me all of the things I need. I'll need a new sleeping bag, and I'll need a new tape recorder, and I'll need a new shortwave radio, and I'll need all of the things that will make up my equipment. And he said, you in Rome, you will have the opportunity to be a part of my ministry. We need to share our dreams with others so that God can enable them to enter into our dream and share in that ministry. You see, the ministry is never an isolated individual thing. It is the will of God for the entire body of believers to participate together in the fulfillment of God's will for our individual lives. And so we need to pray, and we need to encourage, and we need to exhort, and we need to share. We haven't finished this, because we're going to find the Apostle Paul took some unexpected detours. And I want to examine with you next Sunday morning what Paul says to the Roman church and what really happened as it's revealed in the book of Acts. It'll be an interesting study on roadblocks and detours. Shall we pray? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder perhaps if there are some here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Oh, my friend, you cannot possibly discover God's perfect will for your life. If you have not trusted Him as your Savior, my friend, until you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is nothing you can do that will please God in any way. But I thank God this morning that all of that can be changed and rectified in a moment of time if you'll just reach out and trust Him here this morning. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that you'll be saved. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're not sure you're a Christian this morning, would you quietly accept the Lord and trust Him where you sit? Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I do believe You are the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And, oh, Lord Jesus Christ, right now, I do need to be saved and I want to be saved. And I right now confess You as my Savior. I'm trusting You right now for the salvation of my eternal soul. Thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, for saving me. Oh, my friend, if you're here and you just now prayed with me and asked Christ into your heart, you're a new Christian. You're a new creature in Jesus Christ. I have a book that I'll want you to have. I'm not going to ask you to stand or come forward. I'd like you to let me know, however, if you've made that decision. Would you just, wherever you are, would you just slip your hand up quietly while our heads are bowed? Say, Pastor, I wasn't sure I'd ever done that, but right now, I prayed with you and trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you put your hand up? Anyone? Yes, God bless this one. Anyone else? It's hard to see the whole room at once when it's crowded. Oh, Father, we thank You for one that trusted You today. And Father, I thank You for Christians this morning who have been willing, as we've spoken, to take a new look at their own life, to examine the roadblocks and the detours, and to, Lord, perhaps reach down and begin to recognize that there's more to life than the material things that we oftentimes put most of our effort into planning. Oh God, if we have come today and if we are here as believers without a vision, without a burden, without a ministry, oh God, minister and kindle within us a desire to lay hold upon You for a ministry in our lives. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I would give to you the same opportunity that I gave Christians in the early service to really develop a vision that's constantly reaching out for God's will in your life. And you'd like to say, Pastor, God spoke to me this morning. I want you to know it. I'd like to, your prayers. Would you pray for me? Anyone? Lift your hand. Yes. God bless you. So many, many hands again in this service. I thank God for tender hearts. Oh, Father, I thank You for speaking to hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This message has been brought to you by the Santa Rosa Bible Church. Our mission is to see the lost reached and believers transformed by Jesus. You can find out more information about us at our website at srbible.org. Or you can visit us in person at 4575 Badger Road in Santa Rosa, California. You can also reach us by phone at 707-538-2385.